I had every intention of telling you who I was, but as soon as I saw how much Marcus disdained you and Fang, I figured it would be a mistake. You could have told us. We would have welcomed you. And again, I remind you that Dare, my littermate who was my best friend, had already betrayed me. He delivered me up to our mother in chains. I was raised believing that animals are unreliable and unpredictable. But you know what? Animals only kill for two reasons. To protect and to eat. Humans kill for many, many more reasons. In spite of what they think, we're not nearly as dangerous as they are. But you know that, don't you? Vane nodded. Fury sighed and stepped back. Well, you guys have a nice life or whatever. Where are you going? Vane asked. Fury shrugged. Wherever. So that's it? Vane asked. You're just going to introduce yourself to me as my brother and hit the road. What else is there? You don't want me around. You damn sure don't need me. Vane frowned at that. Didn't Fury have any idea? No, he didn't. The only family he had ever known had betrayed him. Little wonder his brother hated him. At least he, Fang, and Anya had banded together through any and all threats and obstacles. Fury had been alone for centuries. He'd always stood back in the pack and never talked to anyone. While other Strati formed inner circles of friends and allies, Fury had always remained solitary. For that matter, he had seldom fought to claim a she-wolf. It must have been awful for him to know they were kin, and to never breathe a word of it. How often had Fury watched the three of them laughing together? Seen them huddled together as family against the rest of the pack, while knowing he should have been included in their group? For that omission of friendship, Vane would feel eternally guilty. He should have sensed the bloodline that bound them together. Fury really was good at hiding his scent. You're my brother, Fury, Vane said sincerely. Family means something to me. If you know nothing else about me, you should know that. Since when am I family? Since the minute we were born. And since the second you came to me to warn me about Stefan. Vane held his hand out to him. I don't need an oath to be bound to you, little brother. We're family. Fury hesitated, then placed his hand in Vane's. Vane pulled him forward and hugged him. Bride's throat tightened at the look of pain on Fury's face. It was obvious he had never expected Vane's reaction or his acceptance. I won't betray you, Fury, Vane said. Ever. And if Fang ever comes out, he won't either. Fury stepped back and nodded. And if you walk out that door, Vane said between clenched teeth, I might have to maim you for it. Fury laughed. Okay. I'm here for a while, I guess. He cleared his throat and took a step backward. You two probably want to talk now. I'll go be in the kitchen with Amanda. Vane waited until they were completely alone before he turned back to Bride. Hell of a day, huh? Bride sat back on the couch and took a deep breath to help her cope with all the odd events of the last 24 hours. Yeah, oh yeah. We got flying babies, wolf brothers, psycho moms, serial killer boyfriends, vampire killing friends, and I'm not even sure what else. This was so beyond her ability to cope. Am I just insane? She asked him. Really? Be honest. I wish it were that easy. I wish I could say yes so that you could have Grace fix you. But no, you're not crazy. She was afraid of that. The question now was, what should she do? So let me see if I got everything straight from your mother. This, she turned her hand over to show the mark, means that we are somehow meant to be husband and wife. But if I refuse you, you spend the rest of your life impotent and alone. But I, on the other hand, am free to live my life however I see fit. He nodded. It really sucks to be you, doesn't it? Vane looked away as a muscle worked in his jaw. I don't expect you to accept me, bride. I never did. I mean, I hoped for about an hour or two, but I'm not stupid, and I don't live in the world of... Well, okay, I do live in a world of fantasy, but I've never deluded myself. He knelt on the floor before her, took her hand in his, and kissed her palm. Oh, he was so tender with her. So kind. She curled her fingers against his warm, whiskered cheek. How could she leave a man like this? He's not human. Not fully, anyway. And he lived in a terrifying world of magic and mystery and scary monsters capable of all manner of cruelty. What do you want, Vane? She asked, desperate to know. Be honest with me. Do you want me simply because of this? She held her palm out to him. Or do you want me? I mean, you don't really know me, do you? Nor do I know you. I know you're a great guy in a pinch and that you have a family that makes the Adamses look normal. But I don't know the real you. He took her hand from his face and held it in his calloused one, staring up at her with those piercing hazel green eyes. The truth is, I don't know. I've never wanted any female the way I want you, bride, but I honestly don't know if it's the mark or not. I don't. At least he had told her the truth. That was definitely one thing in his favor. He'd never once lied to her. How long do I have to make a decision on this? She asked. 2 weeks, roughly. Barring any further demon or mother interference. Then, how about we try and act normal? She burst out laughing at the ludicrousness of that statement. Yeah, they were just Jack and Jill Average climbing the hill to hell. She only hoped Jack didn't break his crown or that she went tumbling after. Bride sobered. Okay, at least we can pretend to be normal. Let me see the real you in all your strangeness so that I know what I have to look forward to. And then I'll decide if I can handle it all without going totally insane. He looked stunned by her suggestion. You're not just running away from me? I probably should, and I can't imagine why I'm even considering this. But I do like what I know about you, Vane. And I guess everyone has problems. Not as profound as yours, mind you, but... At least with you, when I tell people that my boyfriend is a dog, it's not just a figure of speech. He chuckled at that. Bride squeezed his hand. So give me your worst, Wolf. I'll give you mine, and at the end of 2 weeks, we'll see where we are. Vane couldn't believe her. She was too good to be true. In all honesty, he had expected her to scream at him and run out the door, calling all of them loons. But she was giving him a chance. And that was something he hadn't had in a very long time. Hope. Joy burst through him at the thought that she might actually stay with him. There's so much I have to tell you. She cringed. You're not gonna suck my blood, are you? Damn. She would pick that one thing to fear. Well, it was pointless now to keep anything from her. Better he lay it all out for her than she get pissed because he withheld something from her. As his mate, she deserved to have her questions answered. I don't have to, no. She looked at him suspiciously. What do you mean, you don't have to? My people aren't vampires, but there are two parts to a mating ritual. First is you accept me as your mate. How do I do that? Is it like a wedding? To my people it is. Only we do it naked. Her jaw dropped. With witnesses? Forget it. No, he said, laughing at her outrage. She was beautiful whenever her cheeks colored. It made her amber eyes glow. It'll be just us. I lie on my back. We join our marks together. And you take me into your body. Then we make our verbal pledges to each other. She tilted her head as if she were less than sure about his honesty. That works? He nodded. It's magic. Okay, I guess. And then what's the next part? The next is optional, and it can be done or not done whenever we choose. It's where I combine my life force to yours. Why would you do that? Because you're human. And if we don't, you'll die in less than 100 years. Well, I still have another 400 to 500 years left before my old age kicks in. Bride was completely stupefied as she recalled Briani's words. At the time, she had attributed them to either her insanity or Briani's. Apparently, it was true. Just like the rest of this madness. You really are 400 years old? 460, to be exact. She breathed in slow and easy at that. Dear Lord, what would it be like to live so long? How much could a person see in all that time? It was mind-boggling. But more than that came a frightening realization. One that made her heart clench as a horrible, panicked grief swept through her. I would seriously outlive everyone I know, she breathed. Tabitha, my brother and sister, my cousins. Everyone would be long gone before I even grew old. He took a deep breath and nodded. It's not easy. But you would have me and my family and friends. His expression lightened as if a thought had occurred to him. Sunshine Running Wolf, you know her, she's immortal. Bride was shocked by that. She'd known Sunshine for years. Sunshine's immortal? Yes. Get out! Since when? Always. Both she and her husband are. Wow. Who knew the woman who sold her the art Bride had hanging in her store and her little apartment was immortal? She paused at that thought. Now wait a second. That wasn't fair. Why can't we be immortal? Vane shrugged nonchalantly. Because my people aren't. We have long lives, but they are finite. His grip tightened on her hands. There are some drawbacks, though. If you decide to bond with me, I will have to take your blood and you will have to take mine. A blood exchange is the only way to do it. Secondly, if one of us dies, we both do. She went pale. That was a scary thought. Well, then again, compared to other things in Vane's world, that was probably one of the more minor concerns. But you don't have to, Bride, he hastened to assure her. Both decisions are yours alone to make. She took a deep breath as she considered all of it. This was one hell of a commitment Vane was asking from her. It took until death we do part to a whole new level. But as she looked at him still kneeling on the floor, she couldn't help but wonder how bad life with this man could be. He was considerate and giving, a rarity in her world. It was worth a 2-week shot at any rate. Okay, she said slowly. Now for my part of this. If we do mate, I want a human wedding. My parents won't understand anything less than that, and I'm not sure if I want to tell them about all this. That's fine. That means you're going to have to meet my parents, Vane. Okay, they can't be as scary as mine. Well, they're not homicidal as a rule, but they are protective of me. I love them already. Bride gave a nervous laugh at his small, playful grin. You know, I always thought I would meet some guy and date him for a year or two, and then have him go down on his knees somewhere romantic to ask me to marry him. I never dreamed this would be my engagement. She toyed with a lock of his hair. I guess life is never what we want it to be, is it? Dane cringed inwardly at her words. He'd never meant to alter her life so horrendously. He'd only wanted to touch her for a moment, to have her touch him. Maybe this was cruel, and yet his heart didn't want him to leave. It only wanted her. Both the animal and the man in him craved nothing more than to be touched by this woman. I'll do anything to make you happy, Bride. Bride tightened her grip in his hair. In that moment, she felt as though she might actually love this man. At least she knew that she could. But she had been burned, and she didn't know Vane very well. She only had 2 weeks to learn about him. What she knew so far was terrifying. And wonderful. She only hoped he wouldn't lie or deceive her. If he showed her the real Vane, and that man-wolf was honest, then she could accept him. Her worst fear was that at the end of the 2 weeks she would mate with him, and he would become the psychotic, harsh animal his mother spoke of. What would she do then? Taylor had been wonderful in the beginning of their relationship. He'd even bought her chocolates for their first Valentine's Day. Over time, he'd become a total ass. Would Vane do the same? And 400 years. That was a really long time to spend with someone. Not if you loved them. Maybe that was true. The least she could do was try and hope. So where do we go from here? She asked him. I have to find some place to keep you so that if I have to leave you, you'll be safe. And my star? I'll get someone to run it for you. That sounded just a little too easy. How? I'll ask Asheron for another favor. They have humans who help the Dark Hunters. They run a lot of the local businesses here in New Orleans, and I'm sure they can send one of them over there to keep the shop open for you. The greatest benefit is if one of my people comes calling. They'll know how to handle them. All right, then. Let's begin our hand fasting and see how this will all work. Vane stood up and held his hand out to her. Bride hesitated. She had never feared the future before, but she did now. Taking a deep breath for courage, she placed her hand in his and let him pull her to her feet. She expected him to lead her to the kitchen. Instead, he flashed her into the nursery. You know, she said, feeling lightheaded from their trip. Feet work well. Vane laughed. You said you wanted me to be myself. I prefer the Flash mode of transportation. It's a lot quicker. Ash sat in an old-fashioned white wooden chair, rocking the baby who was snoozing in his lap while he watched them curiously. He held a half-empty bottle of milk between his legs while the baby, dressed in a pink jumper, sucked on her tiny fist in the shelter of his arms. There was something so incongruous about that image that Bride couldn't help but stare. A man decked out in black leather and chains with long red and black hair and a dagger earring in his left ear definitely didn't look like someone who should relish caring for an infant. And yet there he sat, in the frilly pink room, peacefully cradling the baby. Ash ought to look completely out of place, and yet he seemed at home here. I've already called Jessica Adams to take over the boutique, Ash whispered to them. She just needs to know where the paperwork is, where the keys to the store are kept, and what bank to make the deposits in. Damn, you're good, Vane said. Ash gave a cocky grin. The absolute best. Vane shifted his weight. Then you know, here's the address. Ash held his hand up, and a business card magically appeared between his first two fingers. He handed the card over to Vane, who stepped forward to take it. "You'll be safe there. Trust me. He's more paranoid than an Appellite commune. Nothing is going to get into his place." Vane looked down at the name on the card and froze. "Will he be all right with us there?" Ash shrugged. "His house is big enough. Just try to stay out of his way." He looked past Vane and offered Bride a smile. "He's a bit hard on the nerves, Bride, but Valerius is a good man so long as you don't mention Kyrian's name to him. He'll make sure nothing happens to you." "Valerius?" she asked. Vane let out a slow breath, then turned to face her. "He's a vampire with serious attitude." Chapter 10. When Bride told Vane to do his worst and to let her see the real man, Wolf, she had no idea just what she was letting herself in for. He seldom did anything normal, and she was beginning to appreciate how much effort he'd used to stay in the normal world for her when he'd pretended to be her wolf. After leaving Ash, they'd gone downstairs to gather up fury. One minute she'd been telling Amanda that she'd call her, and the next, they were inside another house. "I really wish you'd give me some warning before you do that," she said to Vane as she looked around to get her bearings. They were in a huge living room that was twice as large as the one in Kyrian's home. The whole house was completely dark and tomb-like, sterile, cold. The room had expensive, hand-carved mahogany paneling, and was filled with more antiques than Bride had ever seen in one place before. Not to mention the marble floor with its intricate Roman-style pattern. It was like touring a European castle, or a mansion. Everything she could see bled good aristocratic breeding and taste. Unlike Kyrian's house, there was nothing modern or comfortable here. No stuffed sofas, no television, no obvious phones or computers. Nothing. Even the books lining the exquisite bookshelves appeared to be leather-bound antiques. The sofa was obviously from the Georgian era, and had very little padding underneath the burgundy fabric. But the strangest thing of all was the statuary. Statues of two women who appeared to be nude Roman nymphs flanked the winding staircase. The fact that they were antiques wasn't what was odd. It was the bright red pasties that covered their stone-white nipples. "What in the world?" she asked. Fury burst out laughing as she saw them. "Geez, Vane, call before you drop in. You're lucky I didn't shoot your ass." Bride turned to see a tall, darkly handsome man enter the room. He had shoulder-length black hair, sharp dark brown eyes, and about 3 days' worth of beard. Dressed in a loud orange Hawaiian shirt and ripped jeans, he carried himself like a man who knew he could kill anyone who came near him. "Is he the vampire?" Bride asked in a low tone. "No," Vane said as he looked at the man in disbelief. "He's mafia." "Otto, what the hell are you doing here? Dressed like that? What the hell happened to your clothes? You look like you're morphing into Nick Gautier." "Suffering in eternal damnation," Otto said, scratching at his beard as he neared them. "They transferred my ass over here, against my wishes, I might add, to serve dickhead Rex because he has to have someone who speaks Latin and Italian. God forbid the man have a normal plebeian squire who just speaks English. Oh no, we must have one with breeding." Otto sounded much like Alfred Hitchcock with that last word. "So why are you dressed like Nick?" Vane asked. "Just to piss him off. It's truly the only thing that keeps me sane around here." Vane burst out laughing. "Let me guess. You the red pasties man? Oh, hell yeah. Can't wait till he gets up and freaks over that one." Otto deepened his already low baritone voice and added in an accent that was almost Italian but not quite, "Do not touch, nor even breathe upon the statuary, squire. Unlike you, it's priceless." His voice went back to normal. "Nah, priceless will be his face when he sees it tonight." This time it was Fury who laughed. "I don't know you," he said, walking toward Otto with his hand extended. "I can already tell we're going to be friends. Fury Catalakis." "Otto Cavalletti." He shook Fury's hand, then looked back and forth between the two wolves. "You two related?"
"Brothers," Vane said.
"Cool," Otto said, turning toward Bride with a charming smile. "You must be Bride." He took her hand as well, and she noted he had a black spiderweb tattoo over the back of his knuckles. "Welcome to the madness that is our world, my lady. Though personally, I think you're insane for wanting to be here." Otto kissed her hand and bowed low before her. The action elicited a deep growl from Vane, which Otto chose to ignore. "By the way, Bride, you can relax. I am technically human, though my multitude of siblings would deny it. And barring the pasties, I'm really not some sicko. When you meet my boss, you'll fully understand why I have to rattle his cage." Otto headed for the stairs. "If one of you good wolves would howl, I could do the whole, 'The children of the night, what music they make' speech." He looked back at them when neither Vane nor Fury howled. "Why not? Okay, mental note to self that the wolves have no sense of humor or have not read Dracula or seen one of the movies. No problem. Follow me and I'll show you to your rooms. One quick rundown of the rules. We try to be as quiet as possible in the daylight so as not to wake Count Panicula."
"Panicula?"
Bride asked. "My pet insult for Valerius. Much like the good Roman general who owns this house, it's a combination of penis and Dracula." Bride would have laughed, but had a feeling it would only encourage Otto to be bad. They followed Otto up the stairs.
"When did you get so chatty, Carvaletti?" Vane asked.
"I always thought you were a man of few words."
"I normally am, but I've been locked in this mansion for so long now that I'm going stir-crazy. I'm thinking I should have stayed up in Alaska. Hell, I've even been talking to Nick just to break the monotony."
Otto paused on the stairs to look at them.
"Valerius isn't a dark hunter. He's a life-sucking daemon out to bleed me dry. No wonder his last squire quit. I keep putting in for a transfer, and my father keeps telling me to be a man and take my assignment with dignity. I swear that man better not get feeble, or I'm locking him up in the worst retirement home I can find."
"Dog! And I thought I had issues with my parents," Fury said from behind Bride. "Mine just wanted to kill me and put me out of my misery, not add to it."
"Yeah," Otto said from the top of the stairs. "You're lucky. I wish mine would kill me."
Otto led them down a hallway while Vane leaned over and spoke in her ear.
"Don't let Otto's current bizarreness fool you. He was valedictorian at Princeton."
She gaped. "And I had a brain until this place killed it. You try dealing with Valerius and Nick, and you too will find yourself regressing into infancy in a matter of days.
But whatever you do, don't tell Master Valerius that I ever stepped foot on the Princeton soil. He thinks I dropped out of the Barbizon School of Modeling."
Bride laughed, then looked at Vane.
"So, this is the world you're bringing me into? No offense, but these people are really nuts. We have a Princeton graduate who dresses like Don Ho putting pasties on statues, a brother-in-law who's a dog,
yeah, but don't forget, Tabitha came with you," Vane reminded her. "You have your own share of nutcases." She held her hands up in surrender.
"Okay,
but that's only one nut I came with." "And your dad neuters for a living," Fury said from behind them.
"I think that's the sickest thing I've ever heard of."
"Want to go visit my parents, Fury?"
Bride asked.
"I'll pass."
Otto opened a door that led to a huge bedroom with the most elaborate antique canopied bed Bride had ever seen. Deep blue velvet curtains hung around the hand-carved cherubs and angels that decorated the ancient wood.
This is magnificent.
Valerius insists on the best. You two can bunk in here, and I'll take Dog Boy farther down the hallway.
Hey! Fury snapped indignantly.
Relax, Otto said. It's not like I'm making you sleep in the garage or anything.
The two of them left Bride and Vane alone in the room.
So, here we are, Bride said, unsure of herself.
Vane pulled her close.
It's weird not to have to hide myself from you.
So, what all can you do?
Just about anything. I can travel through time in any direction. I can flash us from here to Paris or anywhere else you'd like to visit.
Bride considered that.
She could have anything. But there was only one thing that would make her really happy.
Can you make me thin?
Vane looked less than pleased.
I could.
Do it. He frowned at her as if the request completely baffled him.
Why?
Because I've always wanted to be one of those tiny little women, and I never have been.
He moved to stand behind her so that he could pull her against him and hold her close.
I don't want you, skinny bride. I like you as you are.
His breath tickled her neck as he spoke and sent heat all over her.
My people have a saying, meat is for the man, the bone is for the dog.
Yeah, but you're both. And when given a choice between ribs and steak, I go for top choice every time.
Bride hissed as he placed his lips against her neck and nibbled her. She closed her eyes and inhaled the warm, masculine scent of him. He felt so good holding her. It made her weak and breathless.
Is this all there is between us, Vane? Just sex?
He laid his cheek against hers in such a loving gesture that it tore through her heart.
No, Bride.
Sex is just the physical demonstration of what I feel for you.
He took her hand and led it to his heart, where she felt it pounding against her palm.
No one has ever touched me like you do. You're like a whisper. Gentle, soft, soothing. In my world, the people only shout and scream. But you, you're my haven. She shivered at his poetic words.
God, you're good.
It's not a line, Bride. I may be human, but I'm also an animal. And the animal in me doesn't lie or deceive. I never thought that part of me would be tamed, but it is now. It doesn't want to lash out at anyone. It just wants you. How could a woman say no to that?
Bride gasped as her clothes vanished.
Vane! Before she could get his name out, they were both lying naked in the bed under the covers.
That's some talent you have there,
she said as he nuzzled her neck.
You've no idea.
He breathed in her ear before he licked it.
Bride's head swirled at the ecstasy of his touch.
For once, he didn't waste any time with her. He slid himself inside her with one forceful thrust. They moaned in unison.
Bride looked up into the raw pleasure on his face.
This wasn't playtime to him. He was most serious about taking her.
She slid her hands over his back, feeling his muscles ripple as he thrust into her, strong and powerful.
He was the wolf, and he was hungry.
His green eyes devoured her.
Vane couldn't think straight as he felt her softness under him.
The animal in him wanted complete possession. It wanted to mate and to dominate.
The man in him wanted her tenderness. Her heart.
Most of all, he wanted to spend the rest of his life staring into her amber eyes. They were dark now with passion. Her lips were slightly parted as she panted with pleasure.
Vane claimed that mouth.
He growled at the taste of her, at the sensation of her tongue against his while he thrust himself deep inside her over and over again.
Famished for her,
He forced himself to be easy with her body, to remember that she was human and frail. He would die if he ever hurt her. But oh, the feel of her hands on his back, the way she clutched at his ass. She didn't just screw him. She made love to him, and that meant more to him than anything else. Even if he were immortal, he would never feel anything better than her long, smooth legs entwined with his. Bride was breathless as Vane devoured her. No man had ever made love to her like this, as if he couldn't get enough of her, as if he were desperate to be inside her body. There was so much power and strength in the arms wrapped around her, arms that held her tenderly, carefully. Every forceful stroke pounded pleasure through her. "I love the way your hands feel on me," he breathed raggedly as she cupped his rear. "And I love being able to take you like this." "Like what?" "Face to face," he said, punctuating each word with a deep, lush stroke. "So that I could feel your breasts on my chest. See your expression when you come for me." He kissed her then. It was masterful and devouring, fulfilling. Bride was completely swept away by him, by the intense pleasure of him so thick and full inside her, the way he felt sliding against her body. Vane let his powers flow through both of them. There was no longer any need to harness them or mask them. He let their passion fuel his powers, charging them to their highest level. The sensation of it went through him like lightning, heightening every aspect of her flesh against his. He knew the minute she felt the swell of his powers. She threw her head back in ultimate ecstasy. Her breathing ragged, she met him stroke for stroke. And when she came, he had to shield her scream with his powers to keep the others from knowing what they were doing. He smiled at the sight of her lost in the throes of her orgasm, at the feeling of her hands on his back as she gripped him tight. Then, Vane let himself join her. He growled as he released himself inside her. He lay on top of her, panting while his body continued to shiver in spasm. All the while, she played with his hair and held him close. "That was incredible," Bride breathed. Then she frowned. "You do get bigger toward the end, don't you?" "Yes," he said, nibbling her lips. "And I can't pull out of you for a few more minutes without hurting you." Bride could still feel his body quivering. "Why do you do that? And how did you keep me?"
"I used a time spell so that you weren't aware of how long it took me to finish," he hissed as another wave of orgasm went through him. Vane half expected her to be repulsed. She wasn't. Instead, she cradled his head to her and toyed with his hair until he was completely spent. When he was finally finished, he slid himself out of her and collapsed by her side. She turned to face him.
"So this is what you're really like?"
Vane nodded and waited for his heart to stop pounding. She draped herself over his chest and kissed his right nipple. He growled as she gave a light, playful lick to it.
"If you keep doing that, we'll be in this bed for the rest of the day."
Bride scoffed.
"I know you, man. You'll need at least a few hours to..."
Her voice trailed off as she felt him hardening against her thigh.
"I'm not human, Bride. Sex invigorates us. It doesn't make us tired."
She lifted the sheet to see the truth of that statement. He was already hard again.
"So I can play with you as much as I like?"
"Mm-hmm. I'm all yours, pet." Biting her lip, Bride slid her hand down to cup him gently and to explore the entire length of him. Since Taylor had never made love to her with the lights on or in daylight, she'd never really had a chance to examine a guy up close before.
He bent one leg up and said nothing while she gently learned every nuance of his body. Vane watched her closely while he played with the tendrils of her hair. He'd never had a woman so curious about him. She-wolves didn't care what a male looked like so long as he could please her. Once the act was over, their females pushed them away and left. There was no sharing of bodies, no care given to caress and to love, to nurture. That was what he cherished most about Bride. Her fingers tenderly examined him. She carefully massaged his sack and his cock. Chill spread over him. His outstretched leg actually twitched. Bride giggled as she continued to stroke him. "Like that, do you?" "Yes," he said raggedly as he felt his cock harden even more. She looked up at him, then did the unimaginable. She took him into her mouth. Bane threw his head back and buried his hand in her hair as pleasure racked him. He locked his jaw to keep from howling as she licked and teased him from the base to the tip. She slid him deep into her mouth as she sucked and played. He cupped her face in his hands while his entire body burned. The unselfishness of this act. He hadn't known such a thing existed. A Katagari female would sooner die than touch a male like this. It was the male's job to satisfy the female, not the other way around. Bride groaned deep in her throat as she tasted the very essence of Vane. She looked up to see him watching her, his eyes hooded with pleasure and disbelief. It was a heady combination. He looked as if she were showing him heaven. He brushed the hair back from her face, then stroked her cheekbone with his thumb while she tongued the underside of him. She felt the air around them literally sizzle. She paused at the sound. "It's okay," Vane said breathlessly. "It's just my power surging. They do that sometimes." She returned to him. Vane ground his teeth as his pleasure built to an unbelievable high. Any second he was going to come again. Afraid of hurting Bride, he pulled her away from him an instant before his body exploded. It wasn't the only thing. Every light bulb in the room shattered with the force of it as his powers played havoc in the room. He covered himself with the blanket and used his hand to help his body as it orgasmed. He felt Bride's hand on his. Opening his eyes, he watched as she took him into her hand and gently milked him until his body was completely drained. "You didn't have to pull me away, Vane," she said after a few minutes. "I double in size when I come, Bride. I didn't want to see you get hurt by it." She pulled her hand away from him and kissed his lips. Vane held her close to him, cherishing this novel moment with her. She pulled back to look at the shattered bulbs. "I hope our host isn't too..." She broke off as he repaired every bulb with his powers. "That is some talent you have there." He smiled wickedly at her. "I prefer yours." She was confused by that. "I don't have any talent." "Yes, you do. That mouth of yours is definitely magic." She said, kissing him again. "But it only works for you." "Good." Bride pulled back as she realized something. "Wait a minute. You can't ever cheat on me, can you?" He shook his head. "Without you, I'm a total eunuch. My powers would lessen too. Once sex is taken away from us, we have no way to recharge our energy. Eventually, we lose all our magic." "Then how is your father the leader of your pack if he can't wield magic?" He frowned. "How did you know my father was our leader?" "I heard the medieval people talking about it." Vane took a long, deep breath before he explained it to her. "He became the pack's leader before I was born. The only reason he's still in charge is that he's extremely strong physically as a wolf, and he makes deals with the daemons for magic." "Daemons?"
vampires. Unlike your television and movies, the real vampires don't thrive on human blood. They thrive on human souls. If they take the soul of a werehunter or a psychic human, they can then absorb their powers. Daemons who are truly powerful are able to share that power with someone else. My father routinely makes sacrifices to them so that they'll leave his pack alone and siphon off a bit of their magic to him.
Sacrifices?
He sighed as if the thought pained him. He pretends someone has betrayed the pack and singles them out to be left for the daemons. My brother Fang and I were the last sacrifices he made. I knew he'd send assassins out to kill us once the daemons didn't return to share power with him. She couldn't imagine anything worse than that. His father had sacrificed him to die. His mother hated him and would gladly kill him too. Her poor wolf. No wonder he had come to her.
Oh, Vane, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I'm only surprised my father waited so long to set us up. I think the only reason he didn't do it sooner was that, for all his faults, he loved my sister Anya more than anything. And she loved us. So long as she lived, I don't think he wanted to hurt her by killing us. But the instant she died...
He came after you?
He nodded. She pulled his head to her breasts and held him there, wanting to make it all better, knowing she couldn't. But at least Vane seemed to be at peace with the past and with his parents and their unreasoning hatred of him. His strength amazed her. She didn't know of any other man who could have had his past and his pain and be so compassionate and loving.
What was it like in your commune?
She asked, wondering what other scars he hid with such dignity.
I don't know. We live like animals.
We stay mostly in wolf form unless we head into the cities for something.
Like food?
Or sex. Sex is much more enjoyable as a human than as a wolf. There's a lot more stimulation. Especially for our females.
That was something she didn't want to consider.
She didn't like thinking about Vane with anyone else. But at least she didn't have the fear of him cheating on her. There was much to be said for that. Her own sister was currently going through a divorce over that very thing.
So you pretty much live out your lives as wolves?
She asked. He nodded. For the Katagaria, it's really easy since the wolf is their base form. It's what they default to whenever they rest or are hurt.
But you're Arcadian.
She could tell by the way he stiffened that it bothered him. Yeah. For me, it was unrelenting torture to maintain a wolf form. One of the reasons I'm so strong magically is that I had to learn to channel my powers so that I could remain a wolf while I was fighting, injured, or sleeping. Things that I should do as a human.
And the tattoo on your face?
It's more like a birthmark. He let out a deep breath and it reappeared on his face. Bride traced the scrolling pattern that was oddly beautiful.
Sentinels are Arcadian guardians, he explained.
Once an Arcadian is finished with puberty, the fates choose who they think is strong enough to guard the world from the slayers or animals who are out to prey on Arcadians and humankind. She winced as she understood what he was telling her.
So you were living with wolves when you became human, and then you became their worst enemy.
Yes.
Her heart ached for him. You must have been terrified. Why didn't you leave?
I probably should have, but I was young and frightened. I knew nothing about the Arcadians and even less about humans. Remember, I was a wolf as a child. Our young are never allowed near real humans. I had no idea how to conduct myself or interact with your world. That was why I made a bargain with Asheron to take me into the past to meet my mother. I thought if I told her I was no longer an animal, she would help me adjust. But she didn't. No. She called me a liar and drove me away. She could kill Briani for that. What kind of mother would be so cruel? But then cruelty existed everywhere in the world, even though it shouldn't. Meanwhile, Fury was going through the same thing in reverse.
Yes. She didn't know which of them had it worse.
It was probably Fury. Unlike Vane, he hadn't had a brother and sister to accept him.
So you went back to your pack after you met Briani?
He nodded. It was all I knew. And I couldn't ask Fang and Anya to leave because of me. I figured if my father killed me, at least they would still have a home and be protected.
And no one ever knew the truth about your base form changing?
Just Fang and Anya. And apparently Fury. I should have known when he came to us, but he always kept to himself. Stefan and the others tried to turn him into an Omega, but he wouldn't have it. What he lacks in magic, he makes up for in brute strength and willingness to kill anyone who crosses him.
Bride paused, her hand in his hair as she tried to understand his world. Omega?
Vane kissed her stomach. In every pack, there's a scapegoat that the other wolves pick on. It's always a male, and he is called the Omega Wolf.
That's awful.
He lifted himself up to stare down at her. It's nature, and we're animals. You said you wanted to know me, and so I'm answering all your questions about my world. Gruesome, though, things can be.
Bride tried to imagine the Vane she knew being cold and merciless. It was hard when he looked at her with such love and desire in his eyes.
Did you ever pick on the Omega?
He shook his head.
I usually came between the Omega and the others. That's why the pack hates me. Fang always thought I was an idiot to bother.
Her heart soared at that. He was a good man, even when he was a wolf. She shouldn't have doubted him.
I don't think you're an idiot. I think you're wonderful.
He kissed her for that.
Someone knocked on the door.
Hey, Vane, Otto said from the other side. I meant to tell you two that dinner's in an hour, so if you guys wish to eat with Valerius, be in the drawing room promptly or he'll have a major meltdown.
Does he want us to dress for dinner?
Vane asked loudly.
Of course he does. But I'll be wearing Bermuda shorts and a t-shirt.
Vane chuckled.
He's going to kill you, Otto.
Yeah, I wish. See you guys later.
She heard Otto's footsteps receding down the hallway. Bride lay back in bed, amazed to realize she wasn't the least bit body conscious around Vane. She should be, given how ripped he was. But she wasn't. It was so strange to be with a man who was so accepting of her, faults and all. He didn't try to alter anything about her. It was a great change of pace. She laid her hand against his whiskered cheek and drank in the sight of his lean, languid handsomeness. But in the back of her mind was that awful voice that kept whispering, "All good things must come to an end."
"Do you believe in eternal love, Vane?"
He nodded. "When you live for hundreds of years, you see all kinds of things."
"How does someone know the difference between that and infatuation?"
He sat up between her legs, then pulled her into his lap to cuddle.
"I don't think there is a difference.
I think infatuation is like a garden. If tended and cared for, it grows into love. If neglected or abused, it dies. The only way to have eternal love is to never let your heart forget what it's like to live without it." His wisdom stunned her. Bride pulled back to stare incredulously at him.
"That is profound. Especially coming from a man."
It was what Anya always said. The sadness in his eyes made her heart clench.
"I wish I could have met her. She sounds like she was a wonderful woman."
She was. Bride frowned as an idea struck her.
"Can't you go into the past and visit her? Or better yet, save her?"
He placed her head under his chin and stroked her arm. "In theory, yes. But we're not supposed to. Time is a very delicate object, and it's not something that should be tampered with lightly. As for saving her, no.
The Fates have a nasty way of dealing with anyone who trespasses on their territory. Once a life is ended, they tend to get really upset at anyone who thwarts them.
You sound like you've made that mistake.
I haven't. But I know someone who did.
Fang?
No. And I won't betray this person by naming them. Destiny is destiny, and no mortal should fight it.
But how do we know what our destiny is? Am I to be with you or not?
I don't know, Bride. The only one I know who could answer that is Ash, and he won't.
She found that hard to believe.
Ash is, what, all of 21?
No. He's 11,000 years old and is wiser than anyone I've ever known. There's nothing past, present, or future he doesn't know. The only problem is he won't share that knowledge. It seriously pisses me off most of the time. He has this tendency to say that we make our future by our decisions. But he knows what we're going to decide before we decide it, so why he won't tell us is beyond me.
Because you learn from your mistakes, she said as she realized the reason. And if you choose wrongly and it turns out badly, you can't blame him for it because he told you what to do. Likewise, if it turns out well, you can take credit for making the right decision on your own. Good or bad, it's our life to do with as we see fit.
Geez, that little booger is smart.
Vane laughed at her words. He's not little, but the rest is true enough. She waited for him to ask her what her decision would be regarding them. But he didn't. Instead, he held her in his arms, as if purely content with this moment. Part of Bride was content as well, but another part of her was scared. What would be the right thing to do? She wanted to stay with him, but where? She wasn't a wolf to live out in the wild, and he wasn't the kind of man to be content owning a store in the French Quarter. At the end of the day, Vane was wild and untamable. He wasn't just a man. He was a guardian. And a wolf. She pulled back to stare up at him. All she wanted was to keep him like this forever. But could she really tame this man? And did she really, truly want to spend the rest of her life looking back over her shoulder in fear that his parents or brother Dare would be coming for them or their children? It was a scary proposition. And the clock was ticking for them. In a few short days, she would have to make a decision that could either make them supremely happy, utterly miserable, or it could kill them both.
Chapter 11. An hour later, Bride made her way downstairs alone. Vane had created a very pretty dark emerald velvet dress for her to dine in. He had left her at Valerius's with Fury while he went to Sanctuary to see if one of the werehunters there would either give him word of Fang, or perhaps rescind his banishment long enough for him to check on his brother. Bride smoothed her hair nervously as she came down the stairs. She wasn't sure what to expect from a vampire who hunted daemons. Unlike Tabitha, she'd never met one before. And it would have helped if Otto hadn't departed the house shortly after Vane. As she left the stairs, she noted the pasties were gone from the statues. She smiled in spite of herself. She entered the elegant drawing room to find a tall, black-haired man standing with his back to her as he gazed out the bay windows into the rear courtyard. His stance was rigid, unyielding. He wore his hair pulled back into a perfect ponytail and was dressed in an obviously expensive tailor-made black silk suit. He cocked his head as if he sensed her presence. As he turned around, she paused. He was an incredibly handsome man. Black eyes stared out of a face that had been carefully sculpted by the right kind of genes. He had a long, aquiline nose and lips that were set in a firm line that was unyielding and harsh. He was, without a doubt, the most intense person Bride had ever met. No wonder Otto gave him such a hard time. It was obvious this man had no sense of humor and took everything very seriously.
"You must be Bride," he said in that odd Italian accent that Otto had pegged perfectly. "I am Valerius Magnus. Welcome to my home."